further two more portions of scripture we read, and one of them is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And we just read those few verses from verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And now we will read from Song of Solomon's 5, and from verse 9 to the end. Song of Solomon's, just before the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, and then verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So far the readings for this morning.
The Lord Jesus clearly teaches us in the scriptures that you have to think before you act. You have to make sure that before you go into a certain direction, you have thought it well through. Think of Luke 14, where he says, don't be like a man who goes to war without having made the right preparations and having counted how many soldiers and how much money he has, or don't be like that person who's going to build a tower, but he hasn't really budgeted it very well, and halfway down or up, he runs out. And we do that in common sense too, don't we? Before you buy something expensive, you do your research. Before you vote on someone, you do your research. You want to make sure before you say, I do, as the couple does this week, hopefully. You want to make sure that you do that. And see, that's now also what the Lord Jesus is doing in Matthew 11. At the end of this chapter, we're going to look at this marvelous passage where he says, come unto me. Go away from everybody else. Don't put your trust in the arms of men. Don't put your trust in people or their ideas. No matter how sound they may sound, look at me. Come to me. And let your whole life and your whole past and your whole present and your whole future sink on me. And I guarantee you, you get rest for your soul, for your heart, and the rest of your life
will be the best life here and the best life hereafter. That's what Jesus, in essence, is saying at the end of chapter 11 of Matthew, right? But before he comes to invite you and urge you, may I say it reverently, he sells himself. Let's look at that verse this morning. He is giving the credential about himself that you will not doubt a moment to come to him and to put your trust in him. Let's look at Matthew 11 this morning, verse 27. And that leads us into next week as we're going to look at 28 to 30. So this morning then, let's look at 27. We've looked last week at the two verses prior to it, in which Jesus thanks his Father for his sovereign good pleasure in dealing with men. Yeah, he finds a pleasure even in the midst of his painful rejection by the multitudes in Capernaum. He finds a pleasure in his Father's will. Yeah, and in essence, those two verses are spoken to his Father. Yeah, you notice that. I thank thee, Father. Even so, Father. But in verse 27, he's no more talking to his Father. He's now talking to his disciples and the people. And he tells about himself. Let's read it. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. For no one knows me, who I am, but the Father in heaven. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then comes the great invitation. So I would like this morning to ask you to consider the call to come to Jesus. And that's clearly the point the Lord is coming to in the end of the chapter. But let's consider then this morning just the first part, that he has every reason to call you to himself. Every reason that you would not stay away from such a man, from such a son, and from such a father. And then the second and the third will pick up, the Lord willing, next week, Sunday. Jesus called to come unto him. And let us think personally. All of us here are having an invitation coming to them. Now you know it's coming already. Next week we'll look at the content. But everyone in this church building this morning is under come unto me. Jesus calls you. Again, I know where you've been this week. Have you been with the Lord Jesus? Have you been living before him and with him? Have you been walking through the day whenever you had a moment to again seek him? Or maybe you haven't been doing that. Maybe you have been busy with all kinds of things. And now look for that. This morning he again has seen you and he has seen me in this past week. And here stands a shepherd again. Come unto me. You restless people. You lost people. Come unto me. And I have good reasons to invite you and to urge you to come to me. Because all things are delivered unto me, and there is no one in this world who can say that. There is no one in this world who can ever claim what Jesus here claimed. All things are delivered unto me. He can. And he got proof. And he has many proofs in the scripture. His claim is absolute, congregation. All things. Now don't think about things that you can touch here. Even though that is true. The whole earth and the whole heaven, this entire universe, is Jesus already. He received that the moment he ascended into heaven. He's become the Lord of this creation. And so when he says here all things, that is included, but he's really not thinking of that mostly. He's here thinking of spiritual matters, matters of the mind, matters of the heart, matters that deal with you and me in our inner core of being. He says all things needed to do what I have to do here, I have. See, if you get an important task, you get chosen to be a leader, or you get chosen to be, you know, you have an important job. We're all feeling a little awkward because we know we're not up to the task. At least let's hope we know that. That we don't have enough wisdom and we don't have enough skill. We don't have enough ability. But Jesus doesn't have that problem. He says, all things that I need to do my work are given to me. All. There is nothing that I lack. I don't lack the wisdom. I don't lack the power. I don't lack the sufficiency. I have everything. In order to save sinful, lost people. I have everything to glorify God. I have everything to build God's kingdom. I have everything to take a sinner and to turn him into a saint. I have everything to take a person out of the pain of his life and to pour in him the joy and the rest and the fullness of living. I have everything to do that, and no one else does. I have everything to take the gates of hell out of you and to force myself gently and lovingly into your very core of the heart. And my dear friends, young or old, you are missing out if that Jesus doesn't live in you. You're missing out everything of the beauty of life. And let me just sweetly remind you of that again. You think you have everything, but you have nothing. Because the end of the journey will show it. If you don't have Jesus, you'll hang on the place where Jesus once hung, forsaken of God and of earth and everything else. You have nothing. But those who have Christ have all things in Him, because all things are in Him. You know, hostile hearts, we can do nothing with that. What are we going to do with barren bones? All the preachers in the world combined cannot make a dent and a change in anyone's heart. But the Lord Jesus can. All things are delivered unto Him to change people and to reconcile them unto God. And that's why you need Jesus. That's why you need a personal relationship with Him. Because all things that we need as a fallen human being, He has. What do we need? What's now the core issue of our life? That you would be reconciled to God. That you again be one with Him who created you. No one can fix that problem. But Jesus can. He can reconcile you with the Holy God. He can bring you together with your own Creator again. He has all things delivered unto Him. That means He has the ability to forgive sins. He did it. He has the ability to deliver people from their sins. He has the ability to make us love and serve God. He has the ability to reconcile us. Listen to the Scriptures as Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no name given under heaven but the name of Jesus. You understand now why I asked to be have read this morning Song of Solomon chapter 5. Are you beginning to see why that song is saying He is altogether beautiful? Because Jesus has all things. Everything needed for you, everything needed to bring you salvation is in Him. Now he says later, he says all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That means everything is handed over to Him. Everything is entrusted to Him what is God's. All what belongs to God
is given to Jesus. So basically what Jesus is saying here, I'm God. Even though he didn't say it so out loud, but he's really claiming that he has a divinity to himself. All things of God are mine, and they're given to me. And he's proven that already. He has cast out devils. He has stilled the storm. He is raising the dead. He's proved it, friends. He's given us abundant proof. Nothing that is needed is withheld from him. Satan can tempt him. Tried it. Matthew 4. Demons obey him. Human sickness needs to go. Winds and waves are stopped by him. He has forgiven sins and conquered death. All things are given to me in heaven and earth. Oh, the glory of Jesus Christ to come into this world so well, fully equipped. The Spirit of Jehovah is on him. Now add all that now together for a moment. And when he is going to say to us, come unto me, I want you to know now already, that's not just a sweet invitation. Though it is. Come unto me in the Greek is a verb form that is in a command shape. Come unto me. He invites as well, but it's also a command. He has every right to command you and me to come unto him. To turn away from everything else. To not seek your hope and your life anywhere else but in him. Jesus' greatness and majesty, friends, is unspeakable compared to the best men. Our arms are too short. Our best intentions fall short. Our brightest knowledge cannot cure a wounded heart. No matter how many titles we have in front of our name, we cannot minister to the deepest inner core of a wounded spirit, a broken heart. But there may be such here today who will be able to testify, yes, Jesus can. He's healed. He's poured in his rest. He's given me his joy, even though I was wounded. And if that is you, make sure you share it. Let others know what this Lord Jesus can do. And so Jesus' claim, congregation, is clear. All power that concerns your needs of body and soul is given to him. As you go through the journey of this life and one day have to end it, all what we need is in only one person. And that is the Lord Jesus. And he is here today to again stand at your door and say, behold, I knock. I want to come into your heart, into your life. And gladly, he does that too. He will go through the closed doors and he opens the closed hearts. But I want you to think this morning. Jesus says, all things are delivered to me. He says, I bear the key. I'm the key bearer to admit you into my Father's presence. If you don't come to me, you won't come there. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. He says, I am the door to lead you to the everlasting joy of knowing God and sharing life with him. I am the shepherd, the good shepherd, the only good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. And all that come unto me, I will in no way drive away. As other shepherds do, like scribes and Pharisees. We'll come to hear that later. I am the only physician able to cure the wounded heart and to restore the broken spirit. Are you addicted to sin? I am, so are you. There's no one who can fix that problem. Except He can. All things are delivered unto me. I can fix. I can heal. I can restore. I am the only physician. I am the only fountain that is able to wash you so pure that when the Father looks on it with His holy sight, He will see no spot. I am the only one who can cover you so that you will be acceptable in the sight of holiness. I am. All these things are delivered unto me. I am the only righteousness that will pass God's inspection. Congregation, we are vile in ourselves. We are all, as Isaiah says, our best works are filthy. And no matter how right you try to be, and no matter how right you try to do, it is nowhere getting close to even acceptable in the eyes of the Creator. Not at all. But look, I am the righteousness. Jesus is. You need to be covered by another righteousness than your own. And the vilest and the impurest one that is covered by Him is completely acceptable. I am the only Savior and the captain of salvation. Come. Is He not altogether lovely? Is there anyone like Him? Is there anyone like Jesus? If you have found one, I'd like to talk to you today. You come and tell me. If you can find anyone like Jesus, He is altogether lovely. And knowing Him is rest to the soul. Peace and pardon is so immensely sweet. He is the reconciler with God the Father. There is no more joyful portion in this life than to know your God as your Father. There's only one by which you can know that. It is He who needs to reveal to you. And therefore the urgency, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest because I can give you rest. Nobody else can. See the contrast. I am meek and lowly in heart. So unlike those other pastors that were there, those Pharisees and the scribes, they are filled with an insensitive feeling and an overbearing heart and distant and cold and legalistic. I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, this is the only time that Jesus says something about His own heart in the whole of the Bible. Lowly in heart. You don't have to be afraid to come to a Savior like Jesus. So that's the first reason that He gives why He is the only one that commands your worship. Let's together sing before we look at the other two reasons. We'll sing 163. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek Thy face. And what follows in 163, verses 1, 2, and 3. come unto me, because all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That was the first reason why he is pleading that we would come to him. The second reason is because I know exactly who the Father is, what is in the Father's heart, what he demands, and what we need. See, that is what I gather from the second half of this verse. Jesus knows, despite what people think of him, he knows what he thinks of himself. People don't think much of him. They are rejecting him. But Jesus never for a moment is doubtful about his own glory. He knows his own glory as the mediator. You know, here we find in the second half of the verse a deep saying. And let's read it again. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. You don't know me. You really don't know me. You are placing me outside, reject, not interesting, not worthy, because you don't know me. There's only one who really knows me. That's my Father. He's the one that fully knows who I am. And listen, not only does the Father know me, you know, I know the Father. I know the God I'm talking about. I know who I speak about, because I know the Father the way he knows me. There is nothing hidden from the Father in my heart. There is nothing hidden from me in my Father's heart. You disown me. You reject me. You think that I am just a friend of the publican and a wine bibber and some kind of a rabbi with a radical message. But you don't know me. If you knew what I knew, you'd sit at my feet 24 hours a day. And if you know what I can do, you would be at me from day to day. I know the Father. And the Father knows me. And only those are going to know the Father to whom I am going to make him known. So if you stay away from me, and if you don't come to me, and if you not exercise at my feet, and if you don't follow me in my teaching, you never get to know the Father. You're going to lose out. You'll be full of restlessness and sorrow as you bump your way through this life and then hereafter. See the point that Jesus is trying to make? I know the Father. I know exactly what the Father thinks and what he demands. I know exactly what you know and what you need. Really, congregation, in some way that verse is a mountaintop and holy bush. I will never completely understand it, what Jesus he is trying to reveal to us. But it means that the Father and the Son know each other thoroughly. They are so one as if they are. But they are one. As a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who of us can understand that? Here is man, Jesus Christ. As the disciples see him, I know the Father. You know how big the ocean is, right? Not even mankind combined, with all the knowledge of the last 6,000 years, knows what is in the ocean. We're still standing at the shore. If mankind lived for another 6,000 years of exploration of the universe, we still don't know anything about the universe today. We're scratching the little edging of the hem of the universe. So who of us can state, I know the Father? That word knowing means I have complete understanding. I completely know and comprehend everything that's in the Father, the Creator, the Almighty Lord. You see how great Jesus is and what he claims to be. And since Jesus knows the Father's thoughts, he knows exactly what the Father demands. He knows his Father is holy. He knows his Father is just. He knows his Father will be truthful to his own word. And he knows that if the Father sticks to his word, and he will, you will not live with him as you are today. You will have no communion with him, because this holy Father can never have anything to do with an unholy sinner. Jesus knows that. He knows, congregation, that this Father cannot be a friend with sinners, as Jesus could. Keep it in mind. This holy God cannot be a friend with sinners. He's holy, and unholiness and holiness don't marry. That's an unequal yoke. And therefore Jesus knows that if he doesn't stand between this holy God and this unholy sinner and brings them together, you will be forever outside the joy of knowing God and experiencing the joy of eternal life. You see where Jesus is coming from this morning when he's revealing to us this deep truth about himself. I know the Father, and the Father knows me, and therefore I can tell you what he needs. Without me as the mediator, you will be forever lost where you are at this moment. Except worse. Because now I still have light, and now I still feel love, and now I still have joy, and now I have lots of nice things. But friends, that will be over when we have stayed our time on this earth and have not come to Jesus. Then Jesus is the one who speaks also very plainly about the outer darkness and the pit without a bottom and the gnawing of your tongue and the gnashing of your teeth in the everlasting abode of darkness. You feel the love in his heart. Come unto me, you heavy laden, restless, poor, struggling, lost person. If you don't come to me, there is no coming to the Father. There's no communion, no fellowship, no healing. And since Jesus knows the Father so well and knows the whole heart of the Father, he knows everything else also perfectly well. We can reason from the greatest to the lowest, right? If he knows the Father, let's ask a question. Do you think Jesus knows everything in the universe then? Would Jesus know everything that's in the ocean? He even knew there was a gold coin in a fish in Lake Galilee. I didn't know that. He did. Long ago, he knows everything. Then he also knows what's in your heart. He knows, and he looks right now at the deepest of your heart. And he says, I know what's in there. And I know that I'm the only one that can help you in those deepest issues of your heart. I have no limits. The deepest need of the ache within your heart that you're seeking to satisfy the things of this life is never going to work. Come unto me. That gnawing of your conscience you're trying to kind of subdue is never going to go away, except you come unto me. That thirst you're trying to quench with all the things of this life is never going to quench it, except you come unto me. I know your needs, and I'm the only one able to meet your needs. Friends, we're strangers to ourselves, aren't we? But Jesus is no stranger to you. If he knows the Father's heart, he sure knows mine. And he knows yours. He discerns the thinking. He hears every sigh. He measures every ache. He understands every dilemma. He weighs all your fears. and look, come unto me. He's going to tell us. Because all things are delivered unto him. You don't have to doubt if there is anything that Jesus couldn't do. Don't doubt to take him your burdens, your secrets, your needs. And my last thought is the last thing Jesus says is the last part of verse 27. He calls us to come unto him because he is the only one who can reveal the Father to us. I'm the only one who can make you know the Father, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal to you. And dear congregation, and dear friends, and dear hearers, what is now needed in order to know someone? Not to know about someone, that's easy. But to know someone. What's now necessary in order for me to know the Father? That is, if someone would come to tell me what is in the Father, because you don't know me. You know about me, and you know little things about me. But you don't know me. And this church is the only one who knows me. That's my wife, Michelle. So I told her, and I tell her what's inside. Now she knows me. And how can I know what's in the Father's heart? How can I know what his thoughts are? How can I know what he thinks and what he wants and what he demands? But if someone tells me what's in his heart, and who tells you that? That's the word of the Father. That's Jesus. So Jesus says, look, if you do not come to me, you will never know the Father. If you don't come to listen to my words and my teaching, you will never know the Father. And to know the Father and to know Jesus is eternal life. That brings tremendous grace and peace. As Peter writes, the knowledge of Jesus brings peace. Now see you why it is so serious that you bypass this man Jesus. Can you see now why Jesus said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the congregation that are sitting here in Carterton at this moment, if you continue to reject the Savior, Jesus Christ? You see why? Because the Father has already revealed things to you through Christ that he's never revealed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Never. They've never inkling of it. You do. That's why it's so serious, congregation. We reject a Father who gave and gives and seeks. And here, this whole church there in Capernaum, at least those many people that he has to upbraid in these cities where most of his mighty works were done because they repented not, what then did they do? They hugged the darkness in love. And they rejected the light sent to them in love. And so think well. We begin our sermon that way. We're going to end our sermon that way. Think well before you buy. Think well before you say, I do. Think well before you leave this day. Think well. Because to be under the offers, the callings and the invitations of the gospel has tremendous weight to it. Tremendous. And may I again plead with you this morning. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Don't be fooled today by any other name besides the Lord Jesus Christ. There are issues of heart, also no doubt among us here, that only get worse and worse and worse and worse when you stay away from the only cure. It's Jesus is, in his word and spirit. We know the story of the woman. For 12 years she's been going all over the place and she's only getting worse. Because the real issues of the heart are sin issues. I'm talking just for a moment spiritually.
lot of sin issues. There are other issues, of course. There are mental issues. There are physical illnesses. Can Jesus do something there? The Bible tells me he can, if he is willing, desirous to do so. But he is particularly assuring us in the scriptures of the spiritual willingness to heal the broken, the suffering under sin. And if we ultimately trace everything back to its original source of its problem, congregation, it comes down to paradise, where we broke our relationship with God and rebelled against him and turned our beautiful life into one long journey of suffering. Sin brings all kinds of suffering. Suffering of our selfishness. It's the mother of pride. It's the mother of anger. It's the mother of bitterness, the jealousy, the impurity. It breaks homes. It breaks marriages. It ruins families. It ruins the workplace. It ruins this earth. It ruins everything that is beautiful, because sin has put everywhere its stamp. And now no one and nothing can cure that but our Lord Jesus only. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and I can take the guilt away. I can relieve the suffering or give the grace to carry it even. I am the one who is able to heal the broken heart. I am able to take away the fear and the worry that eats up some people's lives. I am able to take away the gnawing pain and sorrow of regret and conviction. I am. And let God's people here who have tasted the power of the blood and the joy of the word speak. Speak and share about what he has done to you. Because there is a question that needs to be answered. In Jeremiah 8, verse 22, God asks this question: is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? It's a good question. It's God's question. He's looking at you and me. He's seeing you're struggling on. He sees your problem. He's asked a question. Is there no physician? Is there no answer? Is there no solution on your problem? Has Jesus died? No. He did, but he rose again. And he is the only one. And why then is not the health of my daughters recovered? Well, Jesus gives the answer. You would not come to me. You would not come to me. That hurts. That hurts him too. Oh, that Israel would have hearkened. Oh, that Israel would have hearkened. Hear that? Oh, if they only would have listened to me. Soon Jesus cries his eyes out in tears over Jerusalem. When he sees that city and he says, you're going to go all down. And that affects him deeply, congregation. Because there's no one who loves you more than the God who created you. Well, he doesn't love your sin. He hates that. He's angry with it. He loves his creation. And he seeks you. Come unto me. And don't doubt. Don't doubt for a moment this morning that he cannot help you. That unbelief is not worthy to be held. All things are delivered. No matter what condition you're in this morning, and no matter what the condition of your heart, no matter what bosom sin, you say, oh, if you know my bosom sin. I am so full of idolatry and pride and atheism. I have such an incredible thirst for earthly pleasures and possessions and the trophies of this life. I'm always hunting for that. You know my bosom sin, I'm so sexually addicted. I even have homosexual feelings. If you only knew it, Pastor. You know what? You go tell that to Jesus this morning. That is not a bosom sin. He cannot deal with. Study the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6. He lists what some of those Corinthian believers were like before they were saved. And the whole gross list of sin is there. There is no limit to the Lord Jesus' ability and willingness to embrace the sinner that come unto him. Rightfully, he is the friend of publicans and sinners in the way. In the way that he is willing to receive them when they come unto him. Amen. Let us pray together. Follow thy own word this morning, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit to make the room in our hearts and to open our ears and to turn our will to make us willing to come to thee. For sadly, Lord, thou knowest what we will do as men, as fallen men. We pray, dear God, that thou wilt draw this day out of the darkness and out of the shyness and out of the fear and unbelief. Enable us to trust, Lord, upon that word thou spoke, all things are delivered unto me. And so we bring to thee the needs this morning of hearts and needs of families and needs of churches and needs of nations. Thou art the only one, Lord Jesus, and unto thee do we commit the needs we cannot help, and we beseech thee today, let the word and power of the Spirit be effectual to bring multitudes from all nations and tongues to worship this Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee, Lord, for bringing us together this morning, and go with us in the remainder of this day. Take away all of us sinful in preaching, in listening, prayer and worship. And all that we seek thee, O God and Father, in the name of that Son who has called us this morning. Amen.